I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer and not a doubter. I am a doer and not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Say, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Again, I'm very excited about the opportunity to stand before you today. And we are starting a new series today, and it's called Relationships, Keeping It Real and Getting It Right. How many know that we are all in some type of relationship? And, you know, you're either a supervisor, you're either a husband, you're a brother, you're a sister, you're an auntie, you are a nanny, you are a business owner, but some type of way you are in connection or in relationship with somebody, some type of way. And what happens sometimes is that we take those relationships for granted because we're in this relationship. You know, we're a mother or we're just, you know, okay, that's my child. But again, we have to realize that even though we are in these relationships, sometimes we don't necessarily know how to handle those relationships. Because we're in it doesn't mean we know how to handle it. You know, just because you're married doesn't mean that you know how to be a wife. Because you're a parent doesn't mean that you know how to be a parent. You know, so we have to realize that, you know, we are in these relationships, and we have to learn how to effectively handle our role and responsibilities in those relationships. So, you know, I think about myself, you know, again, I'm a wife. So I know that my role in my marriage is to be a helpmeet to my husband. I'm to be a support to him because thankfully I have a husband who leads our family well. So we don't need another leader. He's already doing a great job. We'll start bumping heads if I start trying to come in and take control, right? Because he's already doing an excellent job leading our family in the ways of the Lord, leading our family naturally. He takes care of us well with our finances. So why should I come in and now try to say, you move out the way, I got this. We don't need two leaders. It's time for you to find your role and learn your role and do it well, amen? You know, even as parents, you know, the child, you have to realize you are the child. You're not the parent. You don't come in telling me what's going to happen in my house, right? Are there any parents in the house on this morning, all right? So the child is to be the child. They are to do what they're told to do. The child is not the leader. The parent is the leader, amen? So every person has to find their role and learn their role and learn how to do it effectively so that everybody can, it could be not chaos in the house, but it could be peace in the house, amen? You know, I was thinking about it because relationships are kind of like a dance. There's a rhyme and a rhythm to relationships. And I thought about how the tango dance, there's one person that's leading the dance. Both people cannot be trying to tell which way to go because you're going to be on the floor, you're going to be twisted up or tied up, you know, it'll be a mess. Because the person that's the leader in that particular dance has to have the right to say, okay, this is where we're going. This is what I need you to do. So both of us can't be going left. One person got to go left, one person has to go right, right? Because, again, there is a rhyme and there is a rhythm to relationships, all right? So here we go. One of the things about Christians is that we know how to sing, praise, read our Bible on Sundays. But we've got to learn how to handle our relationships that are Monday through Saturday. It's good that we can handle it in here. Oh, hey, baby, how you doing? It's so good to see you. But what happens when you see somebody driving on 70 in the fast lane going 35? How do you handle that person on Monday when they're not doing what you think they should be doing? God's working on me too. I understand, all right? Get in the slow lane. It's there for a reason, right? So how do you handle that person in Walmart who just did not give you the correct change back? You know, it's political season. How do you handle that person who don't have the same viewpoints as you? You love them, right? So I'm going to show you scripturally how God wants us to deal with relationships. God responds to us based on how we relate to others. God responds to us based on how we relate to others. I cannot abuse you and expect God to bless me. So how I treat you is how God's going to treat me. So it's just black and white. I cannot be up in here speaking in tongues, shouting and screaming, and then I cannot come outside and love you and hug your neck. God says, let's try that again. Let's get it right. All right? My attitude towards you, it really is important to God. And the quality of my relationships determine the quality of my life. In other words, you can have all the money, all the cars, all the stuff, everything you desire. But if your relationships are jacked up, it means nothing. On the flip side, you can be lacking in finances right now. You know, you may not have the car that you desire. But if your relationships are intact, you have everything. You're blessed. I thought about Pastor and I. You know, he always tells our story how when we were newly married and how we did not have a lot financially. We looked forward to Friday nights, going to Church's Chicken, getting that two-piece dinner and that honey biscuit. We were not fussing at that time because we didn't have money. I am fully persuaded that fussing changes nothing. Fussing at him because we didn't have money did not produce money to appear in our bank account. Fussing at my child because he failed that test does not make that test grade turn into an A. I am fully persuaded that fussing changes nothing. Now, we could talk about it. Baby, what did you do here? Did you prepare for this test? But you going up against his head and fussing and just throwing a fit is not going to make the situation change. It is time for us to sit down, talk it out, and figure out, okay, how are we not going to allow this to happen again? So again, we were in a place that we were financially drained. I mean, I remember baking chicken legs Monday through Thursday. I was so tired of seeing a chicken leg, and I love me some chicken. But I baked chicken legs and white rice Monday through Thursday. So Friday, at least I got some fried chicken legs, you know. But again, but fussing did not change our situation. So again, you could be lacking in things, but if you have your relationships intact, you're a blessed person. Amen. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. This is going to be our foundation scripture. Well, so I think. I don't know what pastor's going to do when he comes back next week. But for today, our foundation scripture is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. We're going to read just the first part of that verse in the NIV. It says, make every effort to live in peace with who? With who? Everybody. People that don't look like you. People that may not think like you. People that may do things like, why they do that? It don't matter. It says what? Make every effort. What's an effort? I'm going to try on purpose to make this thing work. I'm not going to avoid you. I'm not going to belittle you because you're different than me. But no, it says to follow peace with everyone. Make every effort. Don't try to just, you know, go, like I said, go out of the way not to be in their presence. But no, I'm going to, on purpose, do what the scripture says, to walk in peace with you. Because pastor tells us that, you know, that how I see God is going to affect how falling out with you is going to affect how I see God. So I'm not going to fall out with you. I want to have peace with everybody that I deal with because I realize that I'm going to get a clear picture of who God is in my life. Amen? So today I'm going to share with you four keys according to scripture that's going to help you to have a healthy relationship. So again, we just talked about how we're going to make every effort to live in peace with everyone. So the first thing I want to do today to help you to have a healthy relationship with other people, not just in marriage relationships. Again, this can go across the board, coworkers, family members, spouses. So the first thing you want to do is you have to tell the truth. To have a healthy relationship, you have got to be honest. In your relationships, you must speak the truth. And that doesn't mean that every person in your relationship wants to hear what you have to say. But guess what? You got to say it anyway because the truth is important. We're talking about people that you are in a relationship with. We're not going to Walmart just going to start picking fights with people, right? But if I'm in a relationship with you, I'm going to be honest with you, you know, because truth builds trust and truth builds security. Relationships are often severed because why? Trust has been broken. Because I have not been telling you the truth. So therefore, the trust has been broken. You know, because, you know, I can love somebody, but if that trust has been broken, the relationship is not going to work. A lot of times I'm going to, okay, I love you from a distance because I can't trust you because your word means nothing to you. So I love you, but I'm not fooling with you. But we've got to realize that we have got to be truthful with people. And you must know that your opinion is critically important in every relationship. If you're always receiving someone else's opinion and their perspective, and you just go along and do what they tell you you should do or think you should do, you're just an employee because you're not speaking up. You're just doing what they tell you to do. But no, you have got to learn that, you know what? What I think really does matter. I was thinking about this, and I'm not weird, but I think differently, I believe. But, you know, when I see people who are friends, and let's just say, you know, you see these two people at the mall, and they both look nice physically or outwardly. They look, you know, prepared or they look a certain way. If you see one person look a little bit better than the other person, I don't trust the person that's looking better than the other person because she could have told her friend, you knew we were going out, get yourself together. You got to be truthful. You got something else you could have put on because you knew we were going out to this restaurant, right? Don't trust people who won't be honest. Because they're going to try to make themselves look better than you all the time. But in a relationship, you have got to be truthful and say, no, baby, I love you too much so that you go out the house looking like that. Right? We got to be honest. And again, you're not trying to harm people and when you're being honest and truthful, but you have got to be willing to speak the truth to people because you're trying to help them and not harm them. Amen? We're talking about a relationship, not somebody you see on the street. But if I'm your sister, I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm your pastor, I have to be honest with you. If I'm your mother, I have to be honest with you. Amen? So again, opinions are important, and we have to share them. Allow your kids to give their viewpoints sometimes because you never really understand what they're going through until you let them talk. Because they do have a perspective. It may be off, but you can help them get it on, right? But if you never let them talk, you don't know where they stand. So allow them to express themselves and explain to them why they do what they do. Because, again, they may not understand that they're thinking off. But if you allow them to say that, you can help them get on track. Amen? So you have to risk your friends or your family members getting salty or having an attitude with you for speaking the truth. You got to risk it. You may be mad at me for a couple of days, but guess what? I love you too much to not tell you the truth. Because eventually you're going to get over it and realize that I really was only trying to help you. Again, the goal to tell the truth is not to cause harm, but to help you. But sometimes if we don't speak up, harm is going to come. Because you have to realize that your perspective is a different angle. Because sometimes everybody don't see, they don't see the blind spots that you may see. Think about a friend who is in a new relationship. Oh, right now they're blinded by love. They're blinded by this new person that is giving them some attention or interest. And you see this as clear as day. Boy, that boy means no good for you, right? But you can't sit by and let your friend just go down this route knowing that this person means them no good, right? Because why? That's going to cause more harm to your friend than good when you could have stopped it. So we have to be bold enough to tell the truth at all times. Let's read Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22. Proverbs 12 and 22 says, the Lord detests what? Lying lips. Oh, my goodness. Talk about strong, right? He says, I can't stand a liar, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. So he says, guess what? If you tell the truth, I'm good with you. I don't care how they take it, but you told the truth. Right? Because again, the goal was to help your people, help your friend, or help your spouse out and not to harm them. You've got to share your heart because your perspective is sometimes different. Amen? And again, your perspective is not just an opinion trying to hurt, but your perspective is helping to reveal blind spots that other people cannot see. So that was the first one. Point one was to do what? Tell the truth, right? The second thing we have to do is we have got to keep love as a gift and not as a reward. In your relationships, you have got to keep love as a gift and not as a reward. You don't make people work for your love. You give your love away. I'm not going to try and intimidate you or dominate you to make you love me or to make me love you. It's a free gift that you have to keep it as a gift. Amen? Because it's a gift to us because God loved us, right? So why are we going to put stipulations on our love? God didn't do that with us. It was unconditional. Amen? Mom and dads, we have to realize that we can mess up relationships when we take our love and make it to be earned and not as a gift. How many know that we messed up when we were children? Right? Anybody perfect in the room? No, none of us are perfect. So just like our kids make errors or mistakes, we have to make sure that we are showing them the love constantly and continually at all times. Because guess what? That's what's going to draw them back. Because they'll remember how you treated them when they messed up. They'll know if you threw them away, if you try to help them get it together. They're going to remember, and people will remember how you made them feel as well. Amen? Because our love has to be a gift and not a reward. And we keep our love a gift, how? By continuing to communicate it. People have to hear, I love you. Your children need to hear, I love you. Your spouse needs to hear, I love you. Your best friend needs to hear, I love you. Oh, they know it. How do they know it? Unless you say it. It should not be assumed, but it should be heard. Amen? So your love has to be communicated. We speak it, we have to tell it. Because if we don't say anything about it, sometimes they just think, oh, they, like I just said, they know it. But no, we have to show love and speak love. Amen? So if it's unspoken, a lot of times it's not given. And the whole thing, again, is we have to realize that we have to get past this. They know I love them. We have to show them and tell them that we love them. Amen? And people should not have to work for your love. I just mentioned a moment ago that if we are intimidating, manipulating, or dominating, then we are operating outside of God's love. If we are intimidating, manipulating, or dominating, we are operating outside of God's love. And guess what the Bible calls that? Witchcraft. We are not going to be dominating and make people work for our love. You better do what I say, or make them feel less than because we didn't do what they wanted. They didn't do what we wanted them to do. Oh, you really don't love me, because if you love me, you would do this. No, we don't do that, right? That's witchcraft. We're trying to control people and make them work for something that has already been freely given to us. God's love shows us here in Mark chapter 12 and verse 31 that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, but there is no commandment that is greater than these. Love them how? As we love ourselves. We won't treat ourselves any old kind of way. So why would we treat anybody else any old kind of way? We won't talk down about ourselves, so why should we talk down about everybody else? So we want to love people, not just the people we live next to, not just our neighbor on our block, but the people I'm sitting next to right now in this sanctuary, the people I'm riding down the street with on Highway 70, again, who in that fast lane should be in that slow lane, we're going to still show the love of Christ, right? I'm telling you, God's working on me. And I thought I had mastered that thing, but doggone it, got me again. Why are you over here? But I'm holding on. I'm working that thing out, right? So, but again, we're going to love people like we love ourselves. The same way we're going to give ourselves the best, give somebody else the best. You want to bless somebody and give them something that you don't want. That's not how we do people, right? We give them what we don't want. No, that's not how God does it. God gave us his best. Let's give everybody else our best. Amen? So the word love here is unconditionally. There are no stipulations with this love. Again, I'm not going to love you just because you do what I tell you to do. No, I'm going to love you in spite of. I know you may have lied on me, but guess what? The Bible tells me I'm commanded to love you, so I'm going to love you even though you lied on me. Because hopefully you're going to go and try and retract what you said because I love you through your mess, right? So we have got to love people. All right, that was number two. So number one was what? Tell the truth. Number two is keep love as a gift. Number three is we have got to, not as a reward, right? Then number three, we have got to talk about Jesus. Jesus should not be in an uncomfortable conversation for you in your relationships. You should not be uncomfortable to talk about Jesus with your friends. Because, I mean, that's part of who we are. That's how we got to where we are because of him. Amen? So talking about a scripture that you've read or an area you've been praying about should be something that you could talk about freely with your friends and your family and your coworkers. Because, again, I'm not going to be ashamed of who I am and how I got to where I am, because if it was not for God or Jesus, I wouldn't be here anyway. Amen? Excuse me. So it says here that you want people in your life that you can be able to talk about Jesus with. A godly relationship is where you as a Christian are free to be yourself and walk in righteousness without being pressured to compromise your righteous stand or godly principles. A godly relationship, again, is where you as a Christian, you are free to be yourself and walk in righteousness without being pressured to compromise your righteous stand or godly principles. In other words, I don't have to start doing what you want me to do because, you know, that's how you think I should be. No, in my relationship, I'm going to be free to say hallelujah. I'm going to be free to say thank you, Jesus, in Walmart. You know what I mean? I don't have to be ashamed to proclaim Christ. So if you're in a relationship, let's just say you're about to be dating somebody, and he does not want to come to church with you, you know, number one, that's a red flag. Number two, you know, you have to realize, to me, I'm just saying, I mean, that's to me, okay? Let everybody do what they want to do. But to me, so if you're in a relationship, you know, and you can't talk about the God you serve in that relationship, then that's not freedom. You know, you're starting off wrong, because you have got to be able to freely talk about the God who has helped you get to where you are. Amen. And the thing is, you don't have, amen, if you want, yes. And what happens is it classifies or it put guardrails up in their relationship. It lets them know, okay, this is how I know I got a prayer partner now. I know I have somebody that's going to always be there that I can call on when I need somebody to pray for me. I got somebody that can be in agreement with me if I have something that I'm working on. Because, again, it lets them know that I have somebody who has a connection with God as well as I do. And if two can walk together, there's nothing that can be impossible for us. Amen? So, again, so not only are we trying to, you know, always talk King James. We don't have to go around, you know, thou art my best friend and thou art, you know, you're not talking like that. But at the same time, I realize that there is a connection I have with you because you believe like I believe. And we can always have things happening for us because you are in my corner. And when I'm down, you can lift me up. And when you're down, I can lift you up because, again, we're there to strengthen one another and can help make sure that we know that I'm not in this fight by myself. Amen. Are you being blessed on this morning? Amen. So it helps when you have somebody who believes like you believe. It helps when you have somebody that can fight along with you and strengthen you. Amen. Let's see what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6 and 6, it says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Make sure you're talking to your children about Jesus. Let them see, man, God bless us again. Yeah, you saw mama going to work, but it was God that helped me get up to go to work. So I didn't do this on my own, but God has been so faithful. That's how we're eating today, because of God. That's the life we live is because of God. So make sure you're training your kids to realize God is the source. He's the foundation of this family, and we have got to realize that we are nothing without him. So train your children up to realize that God is who you have to have in your life. So when you move out of my house, keep God first. Because right now in my house, I'm going to make sure that you're getting him. I'm going to make sure you're in the house of the Lord. But when you move out, I want you to have that same, you know, tenacious attitude that I got to have God as well. So again, it's a matter of us training our children, even now while they're young, to realize that, you know what, we're here because of God, amen? And he doesn't, again, it's him because he's like the app, you know, on our Apple products, and even on your little Samsung phones, you know, I think you guys have apps, but... But you have these apps, and they're just always running in the background unless you close them out, right? So God is like the background app. He's always there behind the scene working for us. So we got to show them that God is always there working for us behind the scenes. We just got to acknowledge him and talk about Jesus in our relationships. I didn't mean to throw any shade on y'all little Samsung users. I apologize. Because I want to have a healthy relationship with everyone. So I'm not going to talk about you guys with your Samsung products, all right? Okay. All right. So number one, we have to tell the truth, right? Number two, we have to keep love as a gift, not as a reward. Number three, we've got to talk about Jesus. And number four, we have got to celebrate and support. Y'all know how to read. Look at it. I love it. Celebrate and support. We live in an age where everything is selfie, selfie, selfie. I. Me, 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 me. What I want to do when I want to do it. But we got to realize that we've got to get beyond what we want to do and how we want to do it and make sure that we are there for other people. We got to celebrate our friends when they win, even though you didn't win this time. Amen. We got to support people even though we may need support right now. You know, it's funny, I was thinking about this, how, you know, children, they are never taught to be selfish. Well, my children were never taught to be selfish, but they still went through this stage of mine. It's mine, right? So I found this on the internet, the toddler's rules of possession. It was so cute. So I'm going to share this with you. There are 10 toddler's rules of possession. The first one is, if I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. If it's mine, it must never, ever, ever appear to be yours in any way, all right? If I'm doing it or building something, all the pieces are mine. If it looks just like mine, it's mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you are playing with something that you put down, guess what? It's now mine. But if it's broken, it's yours. Yes. If it's broken, it's yours. I don't want that. But the thing is, we learn at a young age, mine. It's mine. I don't care what you want. You know what I mean? I don't want to do that right now because, you know, that's not what I want to do. But we got to get past this mind mentality of what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, and learn how to celebrate other people and support other people. Amen? The I and my mentality cannot be in a healthy relationship. When you're married, it's no longer I, it's we, it's us, ours, not mine. No, it all belongs to us, right? When we become married, right? So, you know, not only do we live in this selfie, you know, time, but we also live in an age where everything is so fast. We're on our phones 95% of the time, swiping and scrolling and reading, because everything is so fast-paced now. But we've got to realize that we have got to slow down and be concerned about people around us. Because people around us are hurting. They need us. They need you. They need your prayers. They need your love. They need your hug. We have got to learn how to celebrate other people and support them. And one thing I thought about is if you make what is important to others important to you, your relationships will be strengthened. If you make what is important to somebody else important to you, it will be strengthened. You know, it's like a friend who has been begging you for lunch for the past 6 months because they don't have enough money. Now, all of a sudden, they get a job. They're able to now to go on Fridays to get something off the 99-cent value menu. That's big to them. I ain't begging for your money no more. I can go buy my own value-sized cheeseburger. And then they go from the point from buying the 99-cent cheeseburger, and now they're able to go to get a $5 fill-up box from KFC. Oh, they've made it now, baby, you know, because now I'm able to spend $5 on one meal. Before, it was just 99 cents. And then they graduate from the 99 cent to the $5 fill-up box. And now they are high rolling, going to Chick-fil-A and Chipotle. Can't nobody do it like them, right? Because I don't know about you. And thankfully, I'm in a position where I can just spend what I want to spend. But sometimes going to Chick-fil-A and Chipotle make me double check my receipt. What did I buy for $12? You know, so, but when you're able to go to Chipotle, you know, from begging to now spending $12 on one meal, that should be celebrated. Because, baby, you have worked the principles of faith. You have been sowing your seed, giving your tithes and offering. You're even participating in the big giving day. Guess what? God's breathing on it. He's blessing you because that's how things happen. It starts out small, but it becomes big. And we can never overlook the small victories that we see along the way. So many times we're so ready to see the big things. But no, God's been blessing you every step of the way. And you've got to learn how to celebrate every small victory in other people's lives. Because when you celebrate them, you're also setting yourself up for God to do something for you. Amen. And sometimes in relationships, you may be inconvenienced. You know, it could be inconvenient for your friend to call you at 2:00 in the morning for you to come pick her up because she made a dumb decision. But guess what? I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to help you. Even though you did something stupid that you know you should not have been doing, I'm going to get out of my warm bed. It's 25 degrees outside, but I love you too much to allow you to go down that road. So you may be inconvenienced sometime along the way. Go ahead and play some South Courtney. I didn't realize I was out of time. Okay, so, but you may be inconvenienced sometimes along the way, but that's what true friends do. When you are a sister to somebody, you be a sister to somebody and you help them out. When you are a brother to somebody, you help them out. Amen? No matter what the cost is. Let's see what the Bible says, Romans 12 and 15. It says, so rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So you may not be the one, again, that got the promotion this week. But guess what? You're happy, so I'm happy. You may not have been the person to get the keys to your new house. But guess what? You're happy, so I'm happy. I'm going to rejoice with you. And it says also to weep with those who weep. You know, we turn simple moments into big memories. Something that may seem small to you is huge to somebody else. And celebration makes certain moments unforgettable, while comfort makes other moments bearable. Celebration makes certain moments unforgettable. I'll never forget when you were there to celebrate me on my accomplishment. I'll never forget how you were there to say, girl, you did great. I'm so proud of you. And other times, somebody just need comfort because they may be hurting. You never know how now they're able to go through because you were there to pray for them, to hold their hand, to endure with them. Because again, you never know what other people are going through. Let's take the focus off of us and put it on somebody else. That's how we show the heart of God in the earth. When we take the focus off of us and put it on somebody else. It's bigger than what we see right now. Because again, we may be doing okay right now, but what about our neighbor? What about our coworker who always seems to be going off? Why is she always going off? You never know what the root cause is until you slow down and take the opportunity to find out. Okay, be a friend first. Just let open the door. I'm here for you whenever you need me. They may not be very accepting at first, but again, you have at least opened the door for the Holy Spirit to start working on that person's heart so that you can come in and start minister to them. But again, we never know what a person is going through, but we need each other. Amen? So take the time to invest in other people's lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 11, the first part of that verse says, encourage one another and build each other up. That's our commission today. Encourage one another and build each other up. Again, we are here to be a light in darkness because we never know, you know, what a person is going through. And the only Christ they may see is what they see through you. The only God they may ever see is what they see through you. So let's make sure that we are being great examples of God in the earth. Amen. Well, that's all I have for you today. I pray you are blessed on this morning. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise all over the building on this morning. Every eye closed, every...